Thanks, Miranda. Thanks, Julie. Both very thought-provoking. If we have about 10 minutes of Q&A, take a break, and then come back afterwards. Is everyone okay with that?
June.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know how anybody feels about this, but because you're saying we should get rid of notions of gender, but yet we are where we are right now. And is there a place for another, you may find this very unhelpful, naming of gender? So we have women, man, and we have trans men and trans women. Should there be, I mean, is it sufficient to have, should there be other categories, or do you think that would be a backward step? Or because at the end of the day, in a sense, although you're saying you don't know what it is to be a woman, Julie, you know what it is to be you, but yet we there seems to be a need for categories of men and women, and they relate to some extent to some assumed common life experiences. So the experiences of a person who's trans and the immense feelings that people must have around gender issues who are trans, you know, we all have issues about gender. Do you think there's a need for other categories, other words, other pronouns? So an expansion of language to accommodate this? I don't know if I'm being clear or helpful. Retrogressive, I don't know.
Yeah, I've been absolutely clear. It was one of the things that struck me when you're talking. I've read the piece which was read out online. One of the things that struck me is that you talked about, towards the end, you talked about the difference between about trans people and women. So clearly creating a divide. So if trans people are not women and not men, and I'm not particularly bothered what people call me, but I know what I'm not, and that what I'm not is a man, whether you want to prefix it with cis or whatever. I know that's not something, that a role that I can fulfil any longer. So what do we call people that isn't people like myself and people like yourself, Miranda, that isn't denigrating, that isn't doesn't attack people? And that is my chief concern, because if we don't use words like trans and cis and things like that, what do we call people? So we don't use words like normal to describe it. So, and that's very much my concern. You can call me what you like, but so long as it is on a level playing field with people of other experience.
I would suggest human being for everyone. I can understand exactly what the point you're making, and the point that you're also making about how, because the world relies on she and he, female and male, that it's very difficult to negotiate your way around that. And there's been attempts with they and Z and God alone knows what, 56 different genders on Facebook. And it's all reliant on the absolute belief in and support of gender anyway. And what we do in the meantime is a different question in a way. I think we allow ourselves to live as human beings and we use common courtesy to how they wish to be addressed. But to have to cling on to gender because that's how it is, and to just create even more gender categories, I would say, is adding to the problem and not taking away from the problem. So I think you have two choices here. You either go the Butlerite route of it's all performance anyway, it's all an equal playing field, it doesn't disproportionately harm women and girls. Let's just add loads and loads more different categories and all be just kind of who we wish and what we want. And that is relying on gender. It's not getting rid of it. It's not eliminating it. It's saying, let's stick with it and add even more to the mix.
Can I just...
I think it was a question again.
Yeah, what I was going to say is, I think, you know, like biological sex is male and female, so I think if people have transitioned, then we should just call them male and female. We sort of have to transition to like male to female and just kind of leave it that as it is. But gender's actually masculinity and femininity. Gender's not actually man and woman. So I think that what needs to be done is separate masculinity and femininity from gender identity. You know, so if people are trans, then and the born, say they're born male and they think they're female or whatever, you know, to me that's okay if it means, if it's about, like, you know, sex. But when it's like, oh, I've got innate femininity and that's why I'm a woman, then that to me is where the clash is. It's not that, you know, female brain would be okay if it was about, like, organic, you know, and hormones, but if it's not focused on what's outside, like, you know, the power structure in society, if it's just about, like, somewhat biological, I don't see how it gets in the way of radical feminism then. Obviously with the exception of, like, you know, mixed spaces and stuff like that, and, you know, women's spaces, that's somewhat different, but, it's when they say that femininity is what makes the woman, that's when it affects us, not when they say that they think they should be female. Because living in a female body is a different experience to living in a male body, even if you put people in an empty room, you know, there's no outside social roles. It's still, you're living in a different, it functions differently and everything, and, you know, it needs different treatment and whatever, you know, it's just different in that way, and it might move around because it's got things in different places, so the brain might have, like, a linkage, you know, to how the body moves and what's there. And obviously, if it reproduces, it takes a different reproductive cycle. So, you know, there might be circuitry there for that kind of thing. That's different. But obviously, you know, when it comes to femininity, or masculinity, that's something. It's like something completely different. You get, you know, gender non-conforming people tend to be people who don't fit gender role categories or are happy in the body. And then when you get people who are trans, then they obviously focus on the body. And whether that problem, you know, to do with dysphoria has actually come from a struggle with outside sex roles, whether it's occurred organically, that's the debate, really. I've had sex dysphoria, I don't have it anymore, like I did, ever since I've learned more about gender, because I can see that for me, it was an outside, a clash with what's expected personality-wise and behaviour-wise for somebody who was born female, or in a female body, whatever you want to call it. I had a clash with that, and because of that, I wasn't happy with it, you know, but now I've resolved that, I don't mind my anatomy. Now I know that, you know, I can just defy them expectations. But you internalise all the things, like the clothes that you like to wear, because they're made for the opposite sex's body, you kind of internalise the image of the other person and what you want to look like in them. So you can get, like, you maybe want to be flat because you like the look of the t-shirt and a flat shirt. Things like that can happen. So people can kind of get confused. It's like with the trans women who go in the magazines and, you know, go in their beautified image. Then maybe, as they've grown up, then maybe, like, been looking at, like, what women are doing and internalised it all. Like, I internalised a lot of what men were doing. You know, I went around swaggering when I was younger, showing off, and because I saw men doing it, and I wanted to be escaping from that female role, so I copied some of the things that the men were doing. I found them cool. I didn't see the aggression in them, even though people interpreted me as being aggressive when I copied them. I didn't see them like that. I just saw it as another way going on, and now I know I could go on that way and be in a female body and still, I'm happy about that. You know, but not everybody who's actually trans seems to be able to get to that stage, and if they can, then that's okay, you know. And I think that the problem in the trans community now is people who could get to that stage are having to go through all these procedures because it's not politically correct to work against it. It's more politically correct to go in the direction. So I think there needs to be, you know, something needs to come back to the trans community what's a little bit more like book off of the system. Sorry for swearing, but a little bit more like, you know, pushing the system away rather than everything being cool, because there is some things in there what kind of got to go, what's, you know, it's damaging for everybody. Femininity itself, you know, the things it's made of, the dresses, the makeup and everything, them things are the problem. It's the fact that they used to demanded that women do them to point out all the features that men want to see, and women who haven't got the features, or women who have got them, they get privileged different in society by, you know, and stuff. That's the problem, but not actually the things. You know, we could abandon gender and people could still wear them things, but in a different context.
Thank you. Thanks for that.
Thanks very much.
Miranda, do you want to?
Yeah, that's very impassioned. Right, yeah. So we've had those three questions cover an awful lot of ground. I think a common thread here is the use of language, and language is incredibly important. You only have to take the ability to use language away from people to realise that that you can disempower people. This was spotted by George Orwell when he was charged with rewriting the English language in the 1940s. It was part of the influence behind what he wrote about in 1984, about the way that words become redefined with this concept of newspeak. Mary Daly wrote about it, naming the agent, and we still see a battle now to recognise that with the appalling amount of violence that is committed against women and children, particularly girls, that the you know, the agent is not named. It's an assailant rates whatever does awful things, and it's not making clear that this, in most of these cases where it's violent or sexual crime, it is, you know, significantly in most of these cases it is a male agent, and the use of language is very, very important regarding the pronouns and the need for separate words and separate pronouns for people. I'm not particularly fussy about pronouns. I don't mind being called anything as long as it's it. I have been called it a number of times, and invariably this descriptor has been thrown at me by people who have put themselves out as being allies to trans causes and used that as a way of dehumanising me and attacking me. With all the respect in the world to other trans women, and really I don't want to come across as being heartless or cruel, I don't feel that we need another word for woman, as we already have woman. I think the use of the word cis is inherently problematic. A section that I put in what I just talked about, I wrote up on the train here, which was to do with the way that gender is imputed as being a privilege to women over trans women, that they are able to express, in inverted commas, express their gender in a particular way, and that is a privilege. And I think that is deeply problematic, to try to impute privilege of women over trans women or something like that. I also feel that there is there are issues with language and a lot of the debate that happens, particularly online debate, which is a shame, because if stuff is online, it's there to be read and read there to be seen, and you can pick it apart from now until as near as damn at the end of time, and you can look for meaning, clarify things, and look to see what's there. If there are sides in this debate, we aren't talking the same language. Gender is seen as being something that people have that is fab and funky and is liberating. If you are a woman, your life is ruled by gender, you are oppressed by gender. If you are a trans woman, you've obviously got significant problems with gender to arrive at where you are, and I don't necessarily think that I have to go back on that. I'm not going to say that. I think that that's quite an important point, is to talk about stuff in the same language. But we need to draw a differential, I think, between sex and gender, and I think that is fundamentally important, in that sex, as I've tried to highlight in what I've said, is a social construct. It's something that exists only because society says it does. Biological sex is a real world thing. It has an effect in the real world. It has material consequences. The access to opportunities to doing stuff and things and everything that makes up human life is done on the basis of biological sex. And I feel, to pick up on a point that you were making, I think, if anybody wants to put on a dress, wear high heels, wear a bag and whatever, and a wig and whatnot, you can do what you like. I think that's important. I think it's progressive that people can express themselves and feel that they can be themselves. I do, however, think that it is an enormous mistake, and is also incredibly offensive, to think that what that does is that captures the essence of what it means to be a woman.
I would agree, and also just to add that I don't think, in theory, that trans women are the threat to radical feminism. It's the notions of inherent masculinity and femininity that is the threat. And if trans women rely on those theories, either because they genuinely believe it or in order to get surgery and other treatment, then that's directly affecting in an adverse manner what we're doing and what we're striving to achieve, which is, the end of gender oppression. It reinforces it.
Can I say something? Yes, for me. My worry about
not recognising the social significance of pronouns in this current climate, now, in this world, is most trans people are not saying what you say, Miranda. By the very use of that language, we miss something about the embodiment of being a woman. And you speak to that. So I'm not sure that the time is right for us to take that kind of ideological leap and talk about language. I think I'm much more kind of Jeffreyite, not in everything, but in this point, that actually it is politically important to make distinctions and try not to fall into that kind of queer multiplicity stuff that you were talking about, because that won't get rid of it. Because we're trying to defend some kind of experience and position. So for me, that's probably where my baseline would be. I don't know how people feel about that. I could see a few nods, but I just wanted to put that in as well. I could see Miranda looking up.
My overbearing point is that language is important, and that we've talked about gender and analysed gender. God, I'm confusing my words now. We've talked about gender and analysed gender in social constructivist terms, and that there is something that is also put about sex being socially constructed, and to some degree, the concept of sex is socially constructed in that it's made from words, and this is what philosophers would call a epistemological analysis. You look at the way that words can mean different things, and I think it's important to recognise that sex is socially constructed as a concept, but it is not socially constructed in the same way that gender is socially constructed. I also do not advocate that people should be disempowered by having their ability to use language precisely. I think precise, descriptive and unambiguous language is very important to make any form of progression, whether it is intellectual, libertarian, or even for the sake of enjoying a good book. I think you need to be able to use words and use them properly.
Should we take one more question then take a break? Angela?
I think I understood what you're saying, but I don't understand what you mean in practice. In talking about pronouns, is it unfair of me to ask you precisely what pronouns do you think we need to be using now? Because we're not ready for the ideological leap.
No, it's not unfair. I would actually perhaps talk about trans people. If I was forced into a pronoun in a situation, I would not use she for a trans person, because I think that is embedding a whole load of things now that I think would be politically wrong for us as women. So if you must rightly pin me down, what would I say? I would not refer to somebody as a woman personally, but I think it's important not to dehumanise people as well. It's complex. I'm trying to negotiate the complexity like everybody, but what happens is that it all becomes melted. I think the trans community are generally hyper-sexualised. There's images of women. I think that by doing that now, without having more conversation, what we actually do is reinforce some of that stuff.
So what would you suggest then? And I'll give you a practical example. Last year, I had a heart scare, and I was in a room with four other, in a recovery room, with four other women, and they'd all had the similar procedure as me. So we're all laid there, waiting for the ambulance to come and take us back. Mm-hmm. And the sister walked into the room, and she said, came in with this two ambulance men and said, "Oh, well, there's these four women," and then she looked at me, and there was a long pause, and for about 15 seconds, and she hummed and hawed, and then she said, "And there's Nell." Mm. And that emphasises the difference. Mm-hmm. That is that it's... within this room, it all seems very fine and abstract, out there on the street, it means that you get picked out. And the danger for somebody like myself is very real. Today's been quite an unusual thing because I've not been harassed in the street. You know, I've had 2 weeks of rubbish and been having mobs of kids at the house. These things are very real. They're not abstract things. And actually, the consequences of the use of language are very real. It's not, you can say it's political, but political carries over into the real world. And so what do you do about those situations so that somebody like myself doesn't get picked out and I'm the one, you know, the one person in a thousand that, oh, suddenly the spotlight's on you. And if the spotlight's on you, that is where the danger occurs.
Yeah. Can I just come back with something that might cause massive contention and then we'll have a break and meet again? I understand exactly what you're saying, and my personal view is that if anybody was shouting and picking on you in the street, I would stand in front of you and tell them to go and do one. But, you know, as a lesbian and as a feminist, I'm a gender nonconformist and I want to see the end of it. So I absolutely am a gender nonconformist. Now, this may sound a bit odd now because I've actually got big tits, but when I was a young girl and with no any conscious decision to be a lesbian, I was mistaken for a boy and I was called a boy and it was never a compliment. And there are lesbian friends of mine who don't necessarily, in fact, don't strive to look butch or masculine, who are mistaken for being boys and men simply because they don't wear makeup, heels, dresses, etc. And there are a number of friends of mine who have been told to get out of female toilets. And as I say, this isn't a trans thing. This is just because they do not wear the feminine trappings. That is a quick and easy signifier. Oh, long hair, makeup, that means woman. I could have easily gone the transgender route when I was a girl. Had it been as available now and as normalised now, when I was 13, 14, I probably would have said, yes, please. You know, let me escape this constant bullying. The fact that I feel like I must really be a boy anyway because I fancy girls and that just isn't normal. So let's keep in mind that many women who are not trans, who do not strive to be butch or masculine, have this on a daily basis as well. Now, it may be different from the abuse you get, but actually the same people are the ones doing the abuse and the shouting. And that's where I think we need to find some common ground. And I didn't think, for me, definitely, that wasn't going to be an option. But I swear to God, if it had been, I may well have gone for it.
Are you waiting for me to reply?
No.
Can I just take one question?
Okay, then we'll take a break.
Something maybe to think about, because I don't know what the answer is, but Miranda, you used the Bruce Caitlin Jenner transition as an example, and I've been quite interested reading that about that story, not in Vanity Fair but in things like the Daily Mirror. I'm sure the Guardian takes the same view, but I'm quite interested in how the language that's been used suddenly seems to have turned into... There was an incident, you will know much more about this, but one of the American news stations referred to Caitlyn Jenner as he, and the Daily Mirror actually referred in their article, you know, they got that wrong, and you know, then it was all about embracing Caitlyn Jenner is now a she. And that's now in popular newspapers. And I thought to myself, is that a progressive thing, or is that does that mean that there's more acceptance and less bullying because the tabloids are saying this is how you should refer to people who've been through a transition, or is it actually going back to Julie's original statements? Is that kind of neoliberalism actually really undermining the radical argument? I'm sorry, it's not a question. It's just something that's been in my mind since I read that piece.
That's okay.
I don't expect you to answer. I know you have a lot to
question. Shall we all reflect on that over 10 minutes? 15 minutes?